ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we continue reading today from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 17. Is that correct? Please repeat after me.
Tesam
Jnani
Nitya
Yuktaha
Eka
Bhakti
Vishishyate
Priyaha
Hi
Jnanina
Atyartam
Aham
Sa
Cha
Mama
Priya
Tesam
Jnani
Nitya
Yukta
Eka
Bhakti
Vishishyate
Priyohi
Jnani
Notyartham
Aham
Sacha
Mama
Priya. Do you want some Bhagavad Gita? Those who doesn't have Bhagavad Gita, we have plenty of Bhagavad Gitas there.
Tesam
Jnani Nitya
Yukta
Eka Bhakti
Vishishyate
Priyo Hi Jnani
Notyartam
Aham
Sacha
Mama
Priya
Tesam
Jnani
Nitya
Yukta
Eka Bhakti Vishishyate Priyo Hi Jnani
Notyartam
Aham
Sacha
Mama Priya. Somebody else?
Tesam
Jnani Nitya Yukta
Eka
Bhakti Vishishyate word for word meaning
tesam
out of them
jnani
one in full knowledge
nitya
yukta
always engaged
eka
only
bhaktihi
in
devotional service
vishishyate
is special
Priya,
very dear, He certainly. Yanina. To the persons in knowledge. Atyartam. Highly. Aham. I am. Saha. He. Cha. Also. Mama. To me. Priya. Dear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Of this, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. Please repeat after me. Of this, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. Purport. Free from all contaminations of material desires, the distressed, the inquisitive, the penniless, and the seeker after supreme knowledge can all become pure devotees. But out of them, he who is in knowledge of the absolute truth and free from all material desires becomes a really pure devotee of the Lord. And of the four orders, the devotee who is in full knowledge and is at the same time engaged in devotional service, the Lord says, the best. By searching after knowledge, one realizes that his self is different from his material body. And when further advanced, he comes to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. When one is fully purified, he realizes that his constitutional position is to be the eternal servant of God. So by association with pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration, and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. But in the preparatory stage, the man who is in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord and is at the same time executing devotional service is very dear to the Lord. Who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of God is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chaksuro militam jena tasmai shri gurave nama shri chaitanya manobistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Dalita Sivisakambitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Praye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kipashinduvyaivacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tesam Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Visheshyate Priyohi Jnani Notyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priya. Of this, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. So previous to this verse, Lord Krishna was explaining to Arjuna that there are four kinds of pious men who come to him. They render devotional service. The distress, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. And here in this verse, Krishna was saying that of all of them, the jnani, the one who is in full knowledge of him, who is always engaged in devotional service, is the best. They're all best actually, but one of them is the dearest, priyaha. Remember that word? Very dear. Everyone is dear to Lord Krishna. It's like a father. All the children are dear to the father, but sometimes the father has a favorite son. And that favorite son, obviously, he will do anything and everything, whatever the father will tell him to do. Others who are not so favorable to whatever the father will tell them to do, the father will be always ready for them whenever they're ready to follow. It's not that, oh, you don't want to follow, then I reject you. You're finished. You don't have any other, you're not in my will anymore. No. Anyone who's a good son who will follow the instructions of the father, then their names is a blank. Your name will be put there. So similarly, those who approach the Supreme Lord, those who are in distress, they have problem, those who are financially in difficulty, they also approach the Supreme Lord, and those who are inquisitive, and then the one who searches for knowledge of the Absolute Truth, they're all dear. But very dear is the one who actually is a jnani, as explains here, the jnani. That jnani know. To the person in knowledge. Because it explains that the other three may live after what they they're asking for God or from Krishna became fulfilled. They may go. It's like if you're suffering and you ask help from God and God fulfill or kind of like alleviate you or make your sufferings lighter, then he says, okay, thank you God, I'm going. Or those who are in need of money, who is not in need of money? Everyone is in need of money. But those who are really like suffering a lot because they're very poor, And once they pray to the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord fulfill their desires to have a certain amount of money, then they may also thank God, bye-bye, see you later. And when I need more money, then I go back to you and then ask again for more money, right? And those who are inquisitive, they just want to find out, like, hey, what's going on? And then, oh, this material world is full of miseries. Life is temporary. We're not meant to be here. Okay, that's fine. That's enough. Then may not continue. Again, there's a book about Sankirtan Prabhu. There's different anecdotes about him from different devotees. Thank you. Yes, of course. We went last year. You know Sankirtan Prabhu? He's a dear disciple of Lokanath Swami who left his body 2015. He was preaching in China. Very, very austere and fully dedicated. So he's very knowledgeable also. But the conclusion of all knowledge is that ultimately I want to render service. It's like, it's not enough for theoretically to know that we're not this body, we're spirit soul. That is not enough. Next is, what is the function of the soul? So this jnanina means they are actually those persons who are in knowledge because they know what to do. So they become very, very dear to the Supreme Lord because they perform devotional service. After many, many births, bahunam janmanam ante, jnaninas, jnanavan mam prapajante, vasudeva sarvam iti, samahatma sudurlava. After many, many births, when one comes to the conclusion of knowledge, which is to understand Vasudev, to learn how to love him and render devotional service unto him, such a great soul is very rare. Sudurlava. Manushyanam sahasresu kaschid yatate side. Out of many, many jnanis also at the same time, very, very few become like bhaktas, devotees. Because that is the conclusion of knowledge. To surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And surrender is the natural function of every living entity. That is just like in the wood there is fire. It's natural for the fire to be present in the wood. But you need to kind of like do some rubbing and fire will come out. So similarly, loving Krishna is our natural propensity. And it comes after many, many, many lifetimes. Then one becomes dear to the Supreme Lord. That such personality loves Krishna, will develop love for Krishna. And ultimately, when one loves Krishna, Krishna loves him, reciprocate. Because bhakti means relationship. Without relationship, there is no bhakti. And that relationship means love between the beloved and the lover, which means the Supreme Lord and the living entities. Krishna is the only personality who has relationship with everybody. Raso Baisha, he is the source of all mellows. Some of us may have relationship with, 10-20 people. Or if you were the president, like say a new president of United States, how can you have a relationship with everyone? Not possible. But Krishna, he's amazingly has a relationship with everybody. And this relationship is the one that makes him happy. And that's why this is the cause why we were created. The main reason why we are here is because Krishna wants him to become more happy. It's not that he's not happy, but more happier. So to make him more complete, he's already complete. He's already satisfied. But to make him more satisfied is that he created us. But out of our foolishness, we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. This is due to our contamination, having come in contact with the material energy. Our loving relationship with Krishna has been kind of like covered up by the modes of material nature, identifying with his body. Practically, there are unlimited desires, material desires. No one at any time will not have any desires. Even while sleeping, the mind is still looking for some kind of happiness or some kind of enjoyment. So there are two kinds of desires, spiritual and material. And when one desires materially, then accordingly we will receive a particular form of body. And according to the sastras, 8,400,000 species. So that means that there is at least 8,400,000 different kind of desires. And not a single person has the same desire. We all have different desires. Now we can only have one main single desire if we want to develop love for Krishna. If we want to please Him. That's why we all have different bodies. That means according to our desires, material nature provides these different forms that we have right now. Different color, different nose, different eyes, different ears. Accordingly, how we want to enjoy this material world. So, material desires is there for everyone as long as there is a material body. But when one comes into knowledge, understanding that he is not the body, his spirit, soul, Krishna is God, and my main purpose is to serve him, then his desires, whatever he desires, is purified. Because all of his desires is only meant to please Krishna or his pure devotees. Because fulfilling the pure devotee's desire is as the same, similar to fulfill Krishna's desire. We get purified. The wives of the brahmanas in the Krishna book story, the wives of the brahmanas are not jnanis like the brahmanas. The brahmanas are jnanis, but they're smarta brahmanas. Their gyan is not complete because their gyan is only for the sake of following rules and regulations. So, when one day, did I tell this story before? Did I tell this story? One day, the cowherd boys, they forgot to eat their breakfast. How is that? Because every time they leave home, they have to eat breakfast. But because there's so much, in great anxiety to meet Krishna immediately so that they can go to the forest, to the pasturing ground. And main purpose is to be with him and play with him. So one day, it says in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says, they forgot to eat their breakfast. So they ask Krishna and Balaram, we want some food. We forgot to eat. They're hungry. And that means also that they forgot to bring their tiffins, their lunchbox. Because if they have their lunchbox, because every day the mothers will always provide these tiffins, right? And they ask Krishna and Balaram, please, we're hungry, what to do? And Krishna says, okay, there is some brahmanas over there in that village. So why don't you ask them for some food? But don't mention my name. Mention Balaram's name. Because if you mention my name, they will not give you any food. If you mention Balaram, then maybe they will give you food. So they went, and they were doing this, swaha, swaha. So they were begging, actually, please give us some food. But they did not listen. They didn't even say yes or no. So they went back to Krishna and Balaram. And they asked Krishna and Balaram again. There is no use. They didn't even hear our plead. We're pleading so much that they didn't hear. They didn't even say or no, yes or no. And they said, okay, why don't you ask their wives? Now these wives are ordinary village women. They're not like the brahmanas who read the Vedas. No. But they heard of Krishna and Balaram because in Vrindavan, no one talks anything about anything except Krishna. Anybody about Krishna. Vrindavan means Krishna. Everything about Krishna. So they hear about Krishna's, you know, like very beautiful, bluish complexion and color, peacock feather on his head. Having a flute, playing his constant companion, the flute. So when they heard from the cowherd boys that Krishna and Balaram, they're very hungry, immediately he says, we'll give you everything, whatever you like. Whatever you like. And actually they fill up all... And the brahmanas, they finish their yagya. So all of the mahaprasad, they pack them up, probably not leaving anything behind for the husbands. And immediately, actually, they run to see Krishna and Balaram. And they're being stopped. They're being stopped by the brothers, the father, and the husbands, and the sons. But they did not care. I did not care. It's like the gopis at night when they heard the flute, right? They didn't care about social custom, morally or immorally, whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter. They run. They heard. And from the corner of their eyes, when they had the glance, when they saw Krishna and Balaram, they embraced them. Just like mood in conjugal love. So this is very, very, very important because ultimately it is not just theoretical knowledge that is the question here. It is more of the way how they really become attracted about Krishna. How they're ready to do anything and everything. So what they did, that packing of food for Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, is an act of bhakti. And this is what Krishna cannot repay, cannot pay back to whatever the devotee's love towards him. That's why it says sometimes that the bhakti is greater than Krishna, because this is how we can buy Krishna in such a way. Krishna becomes subjugated by the love of his devotees, that sometimes he becomes seemingly subordinate because of the love of his devotees. It's like one of the names of Krishna is Partha Sarthi. Where can you find in the material world that the boss is driving the car? Huh? And the servant is in the back seat. You cannot find this anywhere. But in the spiritual aspect, spiritual matter, Krishna seemingly becomes subordinate. Krishna holding the shoes of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna letting him be bound by ropes of Mother Yasoda. That's why when the gopis came to see him also in the dead of night, he says, how can I repay you? But one thing I can do is that you may just continue what you're doing. Just continue what you're doing. So in this way, devotees, we tend to, sometimes it may seem to be that, hey, I'm doing the same thing, everything here. What's going on here? If we are not doing what we're doing like every day, and this is like kind of like boring, are we going to do this again and again every day? Will you do this again and again, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, coming to see Krishna Balaram, Radhesham, Gornitai every day? Early in the morning, getting up at 3:30, taking cold showers. Will you do this? There's only one reason why we're doing this. We're starting to develop love of God. We may not have in the beginning, because of our neophyte stage. In the beginning, everyone who comes to Krishna consciousness have material desires. Yes or no? But now, your material desires are already fulfilled and you're still here. Why? Because you're starting to develop love of God. But it's not fully bloomed yet. It's just like bud. Early, the flower is budding stage. So the more we do this, the more we cultivate, but especially in the association of devotees. It says here, so by association with pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration, and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. It's very important. After coming down from the spiritual world to the material world, going to different species of life, in different universes, not just in this universe, but one quarter of the kingdom of God is the material world. So we're going to this one quarter part of the kingdom of God. Back and forth, like like a Ferris wheel. Sometimes a demigod, sometimes a microbe, sometimes a worm in the stool, sometimes being a Lord Brahma, King Indra. And now, even the demigods, they want to come down to this earthly planet and take birth in this human form of life. Because this is the best vehicle whereby we can reestablish our loving relationship with Krishna, but especially with the association of devotees. It's very rare to find bhaktas. Very rare Bhagavan comes to the material world. In one universe, only once in one day of Lord Brahma. Bhagavan, Bhakti, and Bhakta, BBB, very rare. To find a pure devotee whose only desire is to please Krishna, Samsiddhi Hari Toshanam, to please the Supreme Lord and His devotees, and to see Krishna face to face, this is very rare. Not so easy. Doesn't matter how much you try to do it by your own, it is not possible. It will only become possible when you are associating with devotees. The more devotees discuss about Krishna, the more one can realize Krishna. Because at this very moment, we cannot see Krishna through our eyes. Hopefully someday we'll see Krishna, like I'm seeing you face to face. But we see Krishna through hearing. The more one makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, the more one wants to hear about Krishna. The more he becomes so attracted to Harikatha. So we have to choose our association, because not all associations are healthy. Especially in Vrindavan. If you go outside of the four walls of Vrindavan, one must be extra, extra, extra careful. I've heard that there is one person who's doing katha here. Again, I will mention this. And devotees, instead of coming to our Bhagavatam class, they will go and listen this katha outside. No, we have to choose. Prabhupada says also one time, there's a devotee during japa time, and he was chanting near that Krishna Balaram tree in the Parikrama Marg. And he found out. So he asked his disciples to call him. You think you will see Krishna Balaram there by yourself? You have to chant with the devotees, because the devotees, they will be able to give you more inspiration, will give you keep you enthusiastic in such a way that ultimately one day all of these material desires will be gone, will be uprooted. So very dear to the Supreme Lord. If we want to become very dear to the Supreme Lord, then we have to perform or execute devotional service free from material desires. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, even Lord Kapila was telling to Mother Devahuti, there are three kinds of devotional service that can be performed. One is in the mode of ignorance, one is in the mode of passion, one is in the mode of goodness. So Prabhupada says, at least we should be in the mode of goodness. Then that is closer to pure goodness. One should be in the mode of goodness. That's why in the beginning we have to follow this Vaidhi Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, following rules and regulations to keep us clean and ultimately become purified. And in this way, when one is purified because of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, then the Supreme Lord protects us from being contaminated. This Brahma Bhuta platform. No more hankering for what we don't have, and no more lamenting for what we lost. So we can actually, just like a person who is sick. What is the desire of a person who is sick? To get well, right? A person who is sick, what is his prayer? To get well. And he can tell whether he's getting well or not. The disease, the fever, comes down. Becomes normal. And you can tell also if you're well and you're starting to become sick. I know. It starts from the throat. Isn't it? If you're starting to get fever or this kind of flu going on, where does it start? On the throat. It becomes itchy. Because the bacteria is there, starting to get in. And then later on, it'll go inside, and then it becomes like congested, and then you'll dry cough. It's not coming out. And then you have to take medicine. Then it becomes, you know, decongestant, and then it will come out, and then you'll get well. So similarly, we can also test whether our material desires is decreasing or our love is improving or starting to bloom. We can test ourselves. The more we desire for wealth, women, adoration, and these are all called lust or material desires. Lust means material desires. And that includes women or the opposite sex. Woman for the woman is the man. Is that right? Yes. Or wealth or adoration. And the most difficult part to give up is one's prestige. That is the thickest of them all. The most difficult to give up. So we can test ourselves, but sometimes we cannot see that, isn't it? And somebody who's our real friend will tell us, Prabhu, you are going overboard. And we can tell that that is a real friend if they're telling us our faults. So one must be very careful with association. And if you care about others and you have a certain relationship with them, then it's possible to help them, to give them some kind of correction. Otherwise, they may see us as, who are you? Why are you telling me this? I am better than you. You are junior. So, if we are junior and we care for another senior, then we may find or look for some other senior devotees who can tell same level about this. Because this movement is created in order for us to develop love of God. Prabhupada's main purpose of creating this movement is somehow or other. There's no movement in this world that will be able enable us to develop love of God quickly. I know some devotees, they come here. I met some devotees from different parts of the world. They come here. Of course, they belong to some other institutions. But they still come to Krishna Balaram Mandir. We don't go to their temples. We don't go there. Because you know why? Real association is here. Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. I know. I met them the other day. They came from different parts of the world. Some of them, they even came from the Philippines. But why do they come here? Because here, Krishna is very alive. Radharani is very alive. And devotees are very alive. So we just need to continue on in this process. Then one day, through our endeavor, executing devotional service will become dear to Krishna. Everyone is dear to Krishna. No one is not dear to Krishna. We're all, how many times we've heard, we're all individual, unique spirit soul. Unique. Spirit soul. No one is lesser and no one is higher. The cows are not lower Don't think that the cows are lower than Mother Yasoda. Or Mother Yasoda is lower than Radharani. It's just matter of intimacy. One is closer to Krishna, and others may be so far away from Krishna, but that doesn't mean that Krishna doesn't see that person who is doing nice devotional service. So darshan means, it's like in the morning, we see devotees. You know, like, I want to see Krishna. Let me be in the front, right? Mangalarti is like that, right? We have a rope there, and sometimes they really want to go inside. That's not, no. You can be way back in the prasadam table. Krishna can see you. Hey, that is my devotee. So darshan means not that we are seeing Krishna. Darshan means Krishna is seeing you. It's the other way around. Especially, the most auspicious time is during the Arctic. 1,000 times more potent than when Krishna is just having darshan of you. But when you see Krishna being worshipped by the pujari, this is 1,000 times more potent to see Krishna at that time of the day. But then I see some devotees, of course, because there is no place, they do parikrama. So that is fine also. But 2 days from now, we'll be back to normal here. You don't have to like squeeze yourself to see Krishna early in the morning. Tomorrow it'll be less. But then on the 17th, he'll ask, hey, what's going on here? What happened to the devotees? So they become so much absorbed the whole month of Kartik. Very spiritually charged up. They go back to the place where they're meant to do their seva. And definitely will be very much effective in their preaching. And then they will come back again, maybe in Gaur Purnima time. In India, you can get a 10-year visa now, tourist visa for the foreigners, so they can come here every 6 months. We have one devotee here. He's never been here in 7 years. So he's very happy. Vishal Prabhu. Very happy to come back to Vrindavan. So we should have that eagerness also that one day we really go back to Goloka Vrindavan by the process of devotional service. So I stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
So what happens to the Krishna Balaram tree?
They get old. The original Krishna Balaram tree is not there anymore. It's not there anymore. Went back home, back to Godhead. All the creatures here, when they leave their body, they go back home, back to Godhead. Even the monkeys. You know why? Because everyone is always touching Brajaraj. 24 hours a day, if you touch this Brajaraj, it's so purifying. That sometimes the Brajabasis, they carry some with them, and every day they will eat when they go travel, or they put on their head. And if you have a desire, you can desire from the Brajaraj also, not just from the trees around. Even this one speck of this, all the opulences in the universe cannot be equal to one speck of this Brajaraj. That even the demigods, they want to come here and touch this Brajaraj. So these animals, these trees, plants, insects, everyone here, when they leave their body, they go back home, back to Godhead. This is like the desires of many of our devotees. Somehow they leave their body in Vrindavan. And we witness them also leaving their body in Vrindavan. If one is meant to leave their body in Vrindavan, they will leave their body in Vrindavan. Sometimes you see Brijabasis, they want to live longer, so they want to go to Delhi. And they leave their body outside of Vrindavan. But they get some punya also. If you thinking of Vrindavan, somehow you're very far away, like in London, and always thinking to be in Vrindavan, but somehow last moment of your life you're in London, but you're thinking of Vrindavan, next life you take birth in Vrindavan. This is the potency of thinking of Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is none different than Krishna. Expansion of Balaram, actually, Vrindavan. So every moment here is priceless. We cannot measure what kind of pious activities that we have performed in the past that somehow we are here. It's only due to the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Without Guru's mercy, you can be in Vrindavan, but you are not in Vrindavan. To enter Vrindavan, we need the mercy of Guru, Vaishnava, and Krishna, and Radharani, and Lord Shiva. You cannot enter here.
Can you explain Lord Shiva's part in this?
Lord Shiva is the Digpal, he is the guardian of Vrindavan in the four directions. Lord Shiva, because he's Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, without Lord Shiva's mercy one cannot enter Vrindavan as well. To get out of this material world, you need the mercy of Lord Shiva. So, he's very, very great personality. He's like the chokidar here. Not like a chokidar sleeping all the time. He's not sleeping. Unless one is pure, one cannot go back to Godhead. Unless one is free from material desires, one cannot go back to Godhead. So, without the mercy from Vaishnava's Guru, you can come to Vrindavan. I know some of them, some of our devotees, they come here. They push themselves to come here without the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas. As Prabhupada says, coming to Vrindavan is not just buying your ticket by plane, by train, by bus, or by taxi. No. Anybody can buy a ticket to come to Vrindavan, but you will not be in Vrindavan. It is only by the mercy of Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and Vaishnavas. Because you need guidance when you're here and you just on your own and just do whatever you like to do. No, you're not really in Vrindavan. Okay? So we stop here? Oh, okay, yes. Yes,
is the best.
Is the best.
So, this last category of people, like who is in full knowledge, who is engaged in pure devotion, mm-hmm. why they are putting neophyte category, they are doing pure devotional service?
Well, in the beginning, they are neophyte. One can be a neophyte and pure devotee at the same time. Let me see that. It was mentioned in the previous verse, who are these different neophyte devotees, right? Gajendra is a neophyte because he's artha, he's in distress. You know that elephant that was beaten by the crocodile? Actually, he was a king before. King Indrajumna. I mentioned that in the class the other day also. Ultimately, it is Narayan's, Lord Narayan's desire that he has to suffer in that way, that he will ask for Lord Narayan. He did not forget the past. So he asked for Narayan. Next one is Saunakarisi, a jignyasu, a curious or inquisitive. Saunakarisi, he was present there at the Naimisaranya. He's the one who repeated, right? But he was there also, Parikshit Maharaj. That Sutta Goswami and Sokadip Goswami, Saunakarisi. Okay? The other one is Artha Arti. Enjoy Dhruva. Because the initial stage, as I mentioned before, initial stage we have that desire, material desires. Prabhupada says also, he was asked one time, how many pure devotees there are in the movement? And then he asked his disciples, how many are members of our movement? So all the members are pure devotees. It's like buying a ticket. Oh, there's another one, a good example. You buy a flight or a train ticket. You already have the ticket. You know that you'll be flying or you're going on the railway station on that day to catch the flight or the train. Okay, but in the meantime, something may happen. You may get sick, maybe an accident on the way, but you already got that ticket. So actually, you're already all pure devotees. But you still have to do your part. That doesn't mean, oh, I'm a pure devotee, I don't have to chant, I don't have to do devotional service, I don't have to do any mangalartik, I don't have to go for Guru Puja, I don't have to listen to Bhagavatam class, I will just wait here. It may not happen. More likely, it may not happen. It may happen if a pure devotee gives your blessings. That's why most of the times devotees say, Maharaj, please give blessings to my son. Maharaj, give me your blessings. Blessing is only there if they follow the instructions. Then they'll become a pure devotee. Is that okay? So these are all pure devotees, isn't it? Saunakarisi, Gajendra, Dhruva Maharaj, isn't it? They're all pure devotees. But because of these desires, they become purified and they actually kind of like push them away. They did not become bewildered. So that's a problem. In the initial stage, these three others, they may become bewildered and they will live. I've seen devotees like that. They come to the movement, they fulfill their material desires, then they go. But after some time, material energy will punish them, they'll come back again. They don't have any other choice. Once you become a devotee, there's no other choice. Once you start chanting Hare Krishna, you're finished. You're cursed. Materially, you're finished. Whether you like it or not. So, might as well pursue this. Does it make sense? Once you start chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that's it. Your life is, material life is finished. You'll not become successful materially. Even if you become materially successful and give up Krishna consciousness, you will not be happy. That means materially because materially you will have, one day you have, then the next day you will not have. But Krishna, you will always have. See the difference? So if one is in knowledge, he'll understand, hey, might as well go all the way through.
about the devotees, like there's a Mataji, she was a book distributor,
mm-hmm.
a book distributor for 30 years.
Yes.
She came to Vrindavan and she became Babaji.
A Mataji distributing books for 30 years, she became a Babaji?
Yeah, she took Babaji.
Okay.
From this person.
All right.
And she's translated. She knows many languages. She can speak.
All right. Sure.
And everything. Very talented.
Okay.
And the Babaji, I guess, that she took initiation from is,
mm-hmm.
is saying that a Prabhupada is not an enemy. You know, he's not
mm-hmm.
connected to the Parampara.
Okay.
She's translating that like.
Okay. Whatever she performed, being a book distributor, distributing Prabhupada's books, that's never lost. Maybe there's some kind of like, what do you call this? Some kind of some hindrance there from the past also that she has to burn. But ultimately, she'll meet another devotee in some other lifetimes.
That's pretty offensive to be.
That may be, yes, but we cannot disqualify whatever she did also in the past. She may be doing, let's say, book distribution, whatever her motives are, she cannot be discredited for what she've done. Because she committed some offense, then somehow she got diverted. But one day she'll go back again by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, and the Vaishnavas.
You think it's possible in this life?
May not be. Not until she meet a very powerful Vaishnava who'll be able to tell her what you're doing is not proper. You need one, only one, rare soul, very powerful, who will be able to convince her again that what you're doing is not the way. And if it's not going to happen in this lifetime, some other future lifetimes. We should pray for her though. We should not condemn her. Because we all commit mistakes, big mistakes. We all commit offenses. Don't throw the stones to them. It's like there's a Bible. Can you remember that? It's like who did not commit sin? Yeah. Who did not commit sin? You cast the first stone. Is that correct, sir? You're more knowledgeable. Who did not commit mistakes? Who did not commit aparad? We are very thankful we are here. So we should pray for her.
It's also a good example that one should go out there and start listening to this person.
Oh yeah, that's why Prabhupada says don't go outside of the four walls of Krishna Balaram Mandir. But the first thing that we do, some of us, we go, oh, we want high, very high. Go to Radha Kund. It's like what I gave the class the other day. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, don't spend more than 45 minutes in Radha Kund. Prabhupada says, don't spend more than 3 days in Vrindavan. You may become familiar if you're not in that spontaneous, have that spontaneous love. But out of the mercy only of Srila Prabhupada and our disciplic succession that somehow, if we're stick here, that's why sometimes if I go to Loy Bazaar and they'll say, Maharaj, I have not seen you. Where did you go? Where have you been? I says, well, I'm always in Krishna Balaram Mandir. I don't go anywhere. But the first thing devotees go is Loy Bazaar. Every day. You spend more time in Loy Bazaar than in Krishna Balaram Mandir. Right? Or go to Radha Kund. And if you meet one of those unqualified persons there, you're finished. What's that?
No?
Yeah, in this lifetime. But definitely, you get benefit, whatever we did.
Just one more point is where Prabhupada traveled all over the world. All yeah. The temples in this also were in
yeah. You, whoever is not in Vrindavan, from Vrindavan, when you go back, that becomes Vrindavan also. You just continue the mood, whatever you can get from here. Vrindavan is not just this, it's not contained only in this place. Vrindavan is in your heart. Vrindavan means consciousness. So wherever you go, you take the mood of Vrindavan. Then, whomever you meet, they feel, what kind of vibration am I getting from this person? They feel shanti, they feel peaceful, and they feel Krishna from you. I don't know. I'm not a shanti person. Trying to be. Vrindavan, mood of Vrindavan, always thinking of Krishna. Always talking about Krishna. If you always think of Krishna, then you are in Vrindavan. One time, Prabhupada was told by one of his disciples, Prabhupada, I'm Krishna conscious and sometimes I fall into Maya. Prabhupada says, no, you're always in Maya and sometimes you think of Krishna. This is the other way around. That's the right one. Yes, sir?
You said that you already got the ticket to go on life.
What's that again?
You said that we are all pure devotees, that we already get...
Because that is... Love is within us.
Yes. So my question is, I heard 20 times that you cannot go back to the Godhead unless you come to the pure...
Yes, yes. Yes. Prabhupada mentioned one time that even if you're 80% pure, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. It was in one class, it was like hammering. You have to surrender 100% to Krishna. You go back to Godhead. And he saw the faces of the devotees. They're like so worried, 100%. That seems to be very impossible. And then he says, okay, even if you're 90% surrendered to Krishna, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. And then the faces of the devotees did not change. They're still worried. How is this possible? It's like in their mind, Prabhupada is able to read. This is impossible. Then Prabhupada stood up from his Vyasasan and he flicked his chadar. Says, even if you're 80% surrender, I'll make sure you go back home, back to God. And everybody say, Haribo! Haribo! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! But that is still a lot. Even 50% right now, if we're Krishna conscious, we're very, very in good standing. So we still have 30% to work. Krishna will protect you, it says here. Krishna will protect you from the contamination of the material energy. Moksha sami ma suchaha. Krishna will protect you. So Krishna does not, he's not concerned about what we're doing. He's concerned about our intention. our motives. That is most important. A crazy fool, very busy, doing many, many things, but inside he has many crazy, you know, intentions. Is that good? No. Was that a lazy fool? Was that there's a quotation there in the Prabhupada's during the Prabhupada's disappearance day.
Lazy intelligence is first class.
Lazy intelligence is first class than a busy fool. That is the most dangerous. You see devotees, they do many, if you can do many things all at the same time and accomplish at least one thing, then that is good. And sometimes you see devotees, you know, they're doing many things and nothing is being completed. And sometimes it's a disaster. It's better you do one thing and you do it nicely than doing many things and it creates trouble.
Master
of none.
And also, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Rekeha Kurunanda. Vyavahusyaka Hayanta Se Buddhi Ravyavasayana.
Yes. Yes. We should be one pointed.
Eke Manasa in Bhagavatam
Bhito. Eko.
Eke Manasa.
Eke Manasa. One pointed minded. Okay, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.